Chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. We're coming to the end of the Ten Commandments. And just by way of a brief going back and looking quick, first four commands dealt with our relationship with God. There would be no other gods. There would be no graven images. We're not to take His name in vain or with a frivolous or flippant kind of manner. And we're to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. These four deal with our vertical relationship. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, when He was asked what is the greatest commandment, He said, love the Lord your God with all your strength and all your might and all your mind and all your soul. And then beginning with the fifth commandment, we started to see the horizontal relationship, the relationships we have with one another. We're supposed to honor our parents. We're not to murder anybody. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. And Jesus covered them in Matthew 22 also. He said the second commandment is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to do murder. You're not going to do adultery. You're not going to do stealing. So today we come to the ninth commandment. It says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. God expects us to deal with other people with honesty and integrity. I think a positive way to state this commandment is tell the truth. That's basic what this is all about. Tell the truth. You know, we've come up with so many ways in our society to do things that are not right. Of course, we can deliberately tell an untruth, or sometimes we tell what's called a half-truth. You all know what a half-truth is, right? You only tell half of it, and that part's true, but you don't want to tell the other half because that part's not too good. And sometimes we can lie without even saying a word. Just by a look, by a glance. Someone said that the problem can be summed up with three former United States presidents. George Washington couldn't tell a lie. Richard Nixon couldn't tell the truth. Bill Clinton couldn't tell the difference. There they are. This commandment tells us the reasons why we ought to tell the truth. Number one, we should tell the truth because lying dishonors God. It dishonors God. Proverbs 22:12 says, the Lord hates those who don't keep their word, but delights in those who do. We're going to be doing a lot in the book of Proverbs today. One of the reasons that God hates lying is because to lie treats God like a fool, as if He doesn't know what's going on, like you're trying to get away with something. In fact, you're there. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs, the sixth chapter. When you get there, say amen so I'll know. Proverbs chapter 6. There, we got one amen. I need two more. All right, thank you. Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to be reading beginning in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Wow. Let me give you literally what this passage of Scripture says. Six things God despises. Seven things are disgusting to Him. That's kind of the words that we're going to be using. Those who magnify themselves, those who tell lies and deceive people, those who murder, those who have wicked plans and thoughts, those eager to tell displeasing or hurtful things, those who give false and deceptive testimony, and those who spew contention, discord among others. If you look at those seven things, two of them talk about lying and being dishonest. That directly relates to what we're talking about. There's an old saying that says you can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool God any of the time. You just can't do it. And the reason why our lying will always catch up with us is because there's at least two people that know that you lied. You and God. So there's no way to get around it. I heard about a man and his wife. They were getting ready to go out for dinner, and she was putting her makeup on, and he was shaving, and all of a sudden he stepped back and he said, I can't believe this. Where did that young athlete go? There's an old man looking back at me. Look at the pencil-thin arms he's got. He's got the belly of three people. He doesn't have any hair on his head. This is horrible. And he looked at his wife and he said, "Honey, please tell me something positive." And she just kind of chuckled and she said, "At least your eyesight's all right." Wasn't Rochelle. The reason why we are called to be people who speak the truth is because we serve a truth-speaking God. We do. God the Father is true. Romans 3:4, that's what Paul said. Let God be true and everyone else be a liar. God the Son is true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And God the Holy Spirit is also true. The Apostle John says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all things." So we see all of the Trinity is truth. And if God is true, then his word has got to be true. Amen? Everything that God has ever said is absolutely, unmistakably, and entirely true. Every bit of it. The Bible tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's interesting because we have some people that today, when you want to say something to them about the truth, they will tell you things like, "Well, that's your truth, but that's not my truth." Folks, it's not my truth, and it's not your truth. It is the truth, the truth. And I know sometimes that the truth hurts, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. So I should tell the truth because lying dishonors God. But here's the second thing. I should tell the truth because lying deceives others. It deceives others. Proverbs 10:10 says, "Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble." You see, when you lie, inevitably, it's going to cause trouble for other people. There'll be resentment. There'll be mistrust. There'll be bitterness. There'll be anger. Proverbs 25:18 says, "Like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbors." Two of the most vicious ways that you can lie is to either say something behind somebody's back that's not true. And a lot of times, what do we call that, folks? Gossip. No, gossip. You know, in our circles, it's prayer requests. You know, that's just the way it is. And the other way is to say something to someone's face that's not true that you wouldn't say behind their back. And that's called flattery. You know, you know the old saying, "Flattery will get you every place with me," you know, kind of thing. Okay. But listen to Proverbs 26:28. "A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin." We have all kinds of words. We call that like things like sucking up to somebody. Y'all know what that means? You know, you say things about them that you really don't believe are true, but you know, you want to get in their good graces. So you want to cozy up to them and say some things that, you know, you think they will want to hear. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with praising someone. In fact, the scripture says, "Give honor to whom honor is due." But when you praise another person, make sure it's deserved. Make sure that it is honest, that it is accurate, and that it is sincere. You know, I sometimes understand why we sometimes say nice things because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. You ever heard that? I just don't want to hurt their feelings. Now, I'm not saying you ought to say whatever comes to your mind at any time, whether it hurts somebody or not. I read about a man who went to see his doctor, and after the physical, the doctor says, "Sir, I have some bad news. You're deathly sick." And the guy got kind of pale and he says, "I think I need a second opinion." And the doctor says, "Okay, you're ugly too." Here's my point. If you respect the dignity of other people, you realize that people deserve to be dealt with honestly, sincerely. That's what people want. Proverbs 28:23 says, "In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery." So I should tell the truth because lying dishonors God. I should tell the truth because lying deceives others. And here's the third one. I should tell the truth because lying destroys character. Lying destroys character. Remember what Jesus said about the devil? He is a liar and the father of all lies. You know what that really means? You're never more like the devil when you tell a lie, because he is the father of lies. That's his specialty. And if he can get you to do it, he wants you to specialize in it too. That's what he wants us to do. I'm sure this has occurred to you, but do you realize the very first thing that ever happened was lying in the Garden of Eden? The first lie ever told, Adam and Eve. God told the truth. He told Adam, you can eat anything in here, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat it, for in the day you eat, you will die. What did Satan say? You'll not surely die. Lie. Because when they did, they did. They first died spiritually. They were separated from God, and then physically they died. Do you realize if they'd have gone ahead and listened to God, they would still be alive in the garden. Do you ever think about that? Wow, we'd be in the Garden of Eden now. But, oops. That's what Satan said. You can sin and get away with it. Heard that before? That's just not true. You know, the second time we see Satan is in the book of Job. Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 5 tells about who Job was. He was blameless. He was upright. He feared the Lord. He prayed for his kids. He offered sacrifices. Man, what a man he was. And then in verse 6 and through verse 11, Satan goes before God and says, Have you considered my servant Job? He is all these things. And Satan said, yeah, right, because you've got a covering. You've hedged around him. The only reason he obeys you is because you're too good to him. Right? What a liar. To Eve he said, God's not good enough. Here he says, God's too good. And Job's response, and I love his response in Job 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The next time we see Satan's influence is at the cross. Matthew 26, verse 59 says, now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Satan put it into their hearts to lie about Jesus. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? What did I just say? Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He is the one who's the author of all the lies in this world. But I can tell you what is true. Proverbs 11:3 says, people who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. In Genesis, Satan used a lie to corrupt a godly man. In Job, he used a lie to criticize a good man. And in the New Testament, he used a lie to crucify the God-man. A liar, a liar. When we lie, we contribute to everything that brings death and destruction and doom and damnation in this world. So don't ever take it lightly. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Lying is not primarily a problem of the mouth, it's primarily a problem of the heart. Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, for the mouth speaks out that which fills the heart. I've said it before, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Whatever's inside you eventually is going to come out. People are not liars because they lie. They lie because they're liars. That's why. Jesus said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, slanders. Goodness. We lie sometimes not even thinking about it. It just has become second nature. Let me give you some ways. First of all, there's slander. And we know pretty much what slander is, right? Lying about someone with the intention of doing harm to their reputation. That's slander. Psalm 101 verse 5 says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. That's pretty powerful words, isn't it? Wow. That's the kind of thing that you may never be able to take back if you say something like that. It's kind of like trying to put toothpaste back into a tube. It just doesn't work, folks. It really doesn't. I mean, it's out there. It's out there. So remember the next time you listen to gossip. Anytime someone will gossip to you, they will also gossip about you. Don't allow your ears to become someone's personal trash can. It's not worth it. I love the way the Message puts Proverbs 20:19. Gossips can't keep secrets, so never confide in blabbermouths. How true is that? Another way, not only slander, but criticism. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul says, instead of showing love among yourselves, you're always critical and insulting. Watch out. Beware of ruining each other. Now, there are two kinds of criticism. There are two kinds of criticism. Constructive criticism is when you do it face-to-face, in love, and you critique someone. The other kind is destructive. Behind their back, put-downs, sarcasms, fault-finding. That's the world's way of reacting to people. We're in this world, folks, but we're not of this world. We're not supposed to be doing that kind of stuff. I love Psalm 19, verse 14. If you're a Christian, remember this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. And that's the glue that holds all of our relationships together. Trust is essential for good business relationships. It is essential for a good marriage. It is essential if you're going to have friends, right? You got to have trust. Exodus 20:16 says, you will not bear false witness against your neighbor. So how do we really handle this verse? I mean, how can we really apply it to ourselves today? Remember I said the positive way to state this is tell the truth. Just tell the truth. In the New Testament, there's a really great relationship between Christian love and truth and honesty and integrity. Our relationship in the family's got to be strong. After all, the Bible says we're to love one another. We're to prefer one another. We're to receive one another. We're to serve one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to comfort one another. And we're to build one another up. That's who we are as Christians. And the reason we do that is so the world will see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. We need to tell the truth consistently. In Titus, Paul told him, your conversation should be so sensible and logical that anyone who wants to argue will be ashamed of himself because they won't have anything to criticize in anything that you say. Honesty has no deception, folks. Truth has no lie in it. And integrity has no guile. It is faultless. So we need to tell the truth consistently. We also need to tell the truth lovingly. Lovingly. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. When we speak the truth lovingly, we attack the problem, not the person. And there's a huge difference. So we need to tell the truth consistently. We need to tell the truth lovingly. And thirdly, we need to tell the truth tactfully. Tactfully. You know, sometimes truth is not too fun to share, is it? Proverbs 12:18 says, some people like to make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise soothe and heal. Sometimes the truth is painful, isn't it? It's a lot easier not to rock the boat. It's a lot easier not to muddy the waters or to confront the issues. We want to just kind of sweep it on the rug and under the rug and let's just keep on going. But the Bible says we're to speak the truth in love. In love. And that means tactfully. Tact is making your point without making an enemy. That's what tact is. You can hurt with the truth or you can heal with the truth. So speak the truth consistently and lovingly and tactfully. Here's a way I think it's an acronym, and I think it'll help all of us. The acronym is THINK, T-H-I-N-K, THINK. Is it true? Is it true? Number two, will it help? Will it help? Number three, is it inspiring? Number four, is it necessary? And number five, is it kind? Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? The Apostle James said, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. In other words, engage your brain before you open your mouth. That's the best way to put it. And if you fail in any of these categories, you're better off not saying it. If you can't judge that think. This world judges us by what we do and by what we say. That's why Paul said, and again, this is from the Message, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. See, God calls us to be people of integrity. He really does. That's the reason why it's so important. That's who God is. That's His nature. Remember, God the Father is true. The Son is true. The Holy Spirit is true. The Bible is true. In fact, the Bible doesn't just contain truth. The Bible is truth. It's every bit of it. It'll never mislead you. It always will guide you. May have to do some surgery in your life with it, but it will always provide healing for your pain and healing for your heartaches. And when you finally are willing to be totally truthful about yourself, we're all sinners. Can I get an amen? We're all sinners. Totally truthful about our heart. Every one of us needed a new heart. And totally truthful with a God that can forgive your sins, a God that can change your heart through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we become children of the Most High God. That's our legacy. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So my question is, do you love him? Well, do you? Then keep my commandments. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your word, which is altogether true. You have given us these 10 commandments. And although most of them are negative, we do know that there's a positive side to each one of them. And we thank you for your guidance in our lives. And I pray that each one of us would understand what it takes to be who we're supposed to be. We are children. We are loved by you, loved so much that you actually gave your life for us so that we could have eternal life with you. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that has never made that commitment, that today would be that day, now would be that time. Lord, there are so many things that rush through our minds. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would just quiet our hearts, quiet our minds, speak to us individually today, whatever the reason, to join the fellowship of this church, to be baptized, to trust you as Lord and Savior, whatever the need is, Father, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to us and that we would be faithful to follow Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.